The first reading tonight comes from Judges 6, starting at verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gibeon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the bread, the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Second reading from John 20. From verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Over the past 2 weeks, I think the readings were a bit shorter. Tonight it was a bit longer. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. For those who haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, I'm just going to explain quickly what we are doing as well. So this year we are focusing on growth. How do we grow as Christians? Grow in our prayers, grow in how we serve the Lord, grow the place that we are worshiping in, with our rebuild happening and things like that as well. And in the holidays, or in between our major series, we are looking at how do I grow when I'm going through struggles? Might be many different things that happen to me. When I go through a hard time, how do I use that to grow through, or how does God use that in my life to help me grow? So we had a look at three things that you nominated, or the two at least, and the third one's tonight. The first one we had a look at in the holidays was relationships. When relationships are struggling, when we struggle in hard relationships, how do we go through that? Last week, Mike talked about depression and anxiety. How do you grow when it's really tough in that way? And tonight it's doubt. We don't have any more topics yet for the next holidays. So if we don't get any, as I said before, we might just think of anything else that we think you're struggling with, which might not be relative at all. So if you want to nominate something or want to guide us in this, whether it's a struggle that you are facing or someone else close to you, or you think this might be relative for the future, then write that down on a Connect card and pass it on to us to have a look at for the next holiday when we do an in-between couple of sermons again. Tonight, as I mentioned, it's all about doubt. What do I do when I struggle in doubting in my faith? This always is such a big test for us as Christians. When we doubt, and when we find ourselves in a time of doubting, it's normally a very hard time for us. And it's a time when we all struggle, and we find it hard to get through that. And often that is caused because of the fact that we look at others, and it looks as if they're not doubting at all. And we are very concerned or fearful of expressing our doubt to others, because it just feels so wrong. It feels as if I'm saying that I'm losing my faith. And when I look at others, their faith seems so strong. You look at others and it seems as if they never have doubt. Their lives are just always rosy and going wonderful. And you think, oh, they have all God's blessings. And yet, when I look at what's happening in my life and I'm right in the middle of doubt, I start to feel guilty. And that leads to more doubt, and it becomes this vicious circle that's very hard to come out of. And many things can trigger this in our lives. It might be major events. If we look at what happened in the life of Thomas and Gideon, we see that major things happened in their lives that made them doubt. For Gideon, it was the fact that another nation conquered Israel, and the whole nation was struggling to see God's presence in their lives. And that caused a lot of doubt for them. For Thomas, it was the fact that his Lord and his great friend Jesus was just crucified. And he hasn't seen him yet. He didn't know that he was alive. He heard these stories, but because he was grieving, he couldn't accept that that was the case. And that caused doubt in his life. For us, it might be many things as well. It might be many things, and very often doubt coincides with another struggle that we face. It might be that we are struggling in health. It might be that we struggle because of death. It might be that we struggle because of us losing our job. It might be that we struggle because of broken down relationships. So many things cause us just to ask these questions of why, where's the Lord? Maybe this should have happened. Why is this not happening? And all those things just make us grow in doubting the Lord. That's always a hard time. I read that there's this old church father who was really struggling and doubting the Lord and going through a hard time in his life. And this is in the early years of the church. So they didn't have pens and things. They were writing with ink. So he took the ink pot and threw it next, broke it to the, throwing it to the wall. And then walked up and put his finger in the ink and wrote on the wall, I am baptized. And when he was asked why he did that, he said, I did that for the devil and for myself to read. And I think that is what doubt sometimes causes us to do. We want to visibly be reminded of God's grace for us because it's so hard for us to see. So he wanted to say to Satan, don't tempt me in this way, don't tempt me when I'm going through doubt. And for myself, I needed to be reminded of God's grace every single day. What's very important, I think, is we have to look at Thomas and Gideon. When we do that, we actually find and see that it is believers who doubt. And that's important to notice. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is believers who have this struggle in life. And there's a clear connection between what happened to Thomas and what happened to Gideon in the Old Testament. Both these men started to doubt because of the struggles they were facing, and both these men wanted to be visually reminded of God's grace before they were willing to accept and be encouraged in their lives. And both these men came to a point again where they bowed before the Lord and worshipped Him and were reconciled with God in their faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. And that's different to what our logical thinking might be leading us to think. You might be thinking that when you doubt, it is because you are losing faith, or you are moving away in your faith, or you don't have faith. And I think that is not true for us, and I'll get to that very soon once again. But I think for us who are here tonight, we need to know that having doubt is more a sign of believing than it is a sign of unbelief. If you really think about it, it is only believers who can have the doubt that we have. An unbeliever wouldn't be doubting his faith in God because he doesn't have faith in God. But it's because we have faith in God and because we have this relationship with the Lord that we struggle when we go through times of doubt. Right through the Bible, we find many examples of believers struggling with this. I read this passage again when I preached some time back, Matthew 28, the well-known passage where God calls His disciples to go out. But just before that, it says in Matthew 28, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And then when Jesus goes to these doubters, this is what He then does. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me, therefore go and make disciples. You all know that verse very well. That is how He addresses the doubt that they face. I also came across a review of a book that I'm intending to look for this week, written by a writer I didn't know existed. But I'm looking forward to writing his writings as well. The son of John Piper. I've mentioned him, John Piper, before in sermons, and I think he's a very good theologian. So he has a son called Barnabas Piper, and this is a review on a book that Barnabas wrote. He was asked, is doubt good or bad for Christians? According to Barnabas Piper, the answer is yes. It's good or bad for Christians. The son of the prominent Calvinist pastor, John Piper, says that two kinds of doubt exists. One kind is bad, idolatrous, and usually destroys faith. And that's not the doubt we are focusing on tonight. That's the doubt that an unbeliever has. Doubting whether God exists. Not wanting to believe. That's not the doubt that we are focusing on tonight. And Piper continues to say, there's another kind, which Piper calls believing doubt. And this is healthy and leads the doubter to trust in divine mystery. In his new book, Help My Unbelief, Why Doubt is Not the Enemy of Faith, the younger Piper says too many people throw the doubting baby out with the doubting bathwater. He says he fears for these unquestioning Christians and their untested faith. Piper says they need to learn to distinguish between the two types of faith and begin embracing the believing kind. See, when we actually doubt as believers, The result of growing through that phase can actually lead us to be closer to God. When we started looking at struggles and how we grow through struggles, we saw the same thing in the start of the letter of James, how he says that we need to be or find joy when we go through struggles. And that's such a hard thing to understand. But it is because those struggles then cleanse or purify our faith and make our faith stronger. And it's the same, I think, when we go through doubt as a struggle. It can lead us to be closer to God. And you can actually see this in the examples we read today. What happened to Gideon? Gideon had the struggle of faith. They couldn't see, or he couldn't see God's presence in the nation of Israel. He was doubting whether God was still caring for them. And then in the end of what happened to him, he actually brought a sacrifice to the Lord, and he said that he has peace with the Lord once again. Things were restored with the Lord. Thomas, you see the same thing. He grew closer to Christ. After doubting whether Christ was alive, in the end he proclaimed to Christ, worshipping and bowing before him, "My Lord and my God." He was closer to Christ then more than he was ever before. So we're going to focus mainly on Thomas tonight, but we'll also touch on what happened to Gideon later as well. Although Piper says, I think that doubt is a good thing and we need to embrace that, it doesn't mean, just as any struggle does mean that that's something we would want. Doubt is not something we want in our lives. It's not good in that sense that it is something that God gives to us as a gift. But it's certainly a test we go through, and the result of going through that is certainly something that helps us grow in faith. If we look at the story of Thomas himself and what happened here, you actually have to read through the whole story and understand that the main focus, once again, in this whole passage is not Thomas and his struggles and how he couldn't believe or how he was doubting. The main focus in this passage is the gospel of Christ appearing before Thomas once again and restoring his doubt. How Christ chose to seek Thomas out. He appeared before the disciples before, but he chose to appear before Thomas again to reassure him of his faith and help him grow through this time of struggle. And that's the message of grace and mercy that we need to understand. And that's the same right through the Bible. That's how God works. If you go to the beginning of the Bible, the story of in Genesis of the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Gethsemane, as soon as they fell in sin, it was God who reached out and was looking for them. They were hiding in the Garden of Eden, but God wanted to reconcile with them, and he was looking for them. The same happens with Peter, who denies God. The same happens right through the Bible, that it is God who continues to turn to us, and it continues to seek us out to restore our relationship with him. And it's the same thing that happens in the story of Thomas as well. It wasn't Thomas looking for Jesus, but it was Jesus finding Thomas to help him grow through this time of doubt. Now that's the story that we should take to heart as well in our struggle with doubt and the times when we struggle in our faith. To know that God is there, that he cares, that he wants to restore your faith to strength. He wants you to grow through this time of doubt, and he wants you to be close to him once again. It's not as if he's any further away from you, but he's always there, and you need to understand that and know that. Jesus, when he appeared before his disciples, blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that came true for us as well. God gave the Holy Spirit to us so that we might have God with us every single moment in our lives. God wants us to have a strong faith, and when we go through a time of doubt, it's not God being further away, but he's there for us and he's helping us go through that time. He wants to strengthen our faith once again. How does it happen for Thomas? Well, you heard the story how Thomas just couldn't believe unless he saw that it was Jesus himself. He had to see the marks. He just couldn't accept that Jesus rose again. He was struggling with that. He was doubting whether that could be true. For Thomas, in some way, it was the saying, seeing is believing. He had to see to believe. But it was also much more than that. Because only seeing doesn't make you believe. It was an encounter with Christ that he needed. He needed to be before Christ again and hear the words of Jesus and had to be reunited with Jesus in that sense for his faith to be strengthened. It was a personal encounter with the risen Lord that he needed. Not only just seeing the signs. In fact, we read that after he saw the signs, we don't really read that he actually touched the winds as such, but it just says here that he then called out, "My Lord and my God." Christ then said, "Well, blessed are you because you've seen, but blessed are those who haven't seen and yet they believe." It's important to look at that verse and understand who those people are. And I think 2,000 years onwards, those people are us. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus physically standing before us and seeing his marks of the cross. And yet we have faith. Why? Because we have had a personal encounter with Jesus. We know him. He has revealed himself to us in so many ways. He has given us his Holy Spirit. We know that he's alive. We know his voice. We have a relationship with him, and that is what Thomas needed to find again and grow in. And we are blessed because we have that, even though we don't have the physical signs of seeing or the visual encouragement of seeing Jesus, we have more than that. We still have Jesus with us, and that is what we need to hold on to. And there's one more thing, I think, in the story of Thomas that we need to take to heart, and that's the fact that the way Jesus dealt with this story, he never wanted Thomas to be by himself. He could have appeared to Thomas by himself and revealed himself to Thomas, and maybe Thomas would have believed again. But he waited until Thomas was with all his friends again, in the Holy Communion of the saints, with brothers and sisters in faith. They never left him, although he doubted, and after Christ appeared to them all again, they all embraced one another and they continued in worship. And that, I think, is so encouraging for us to see and understand as well. Because when we go through this struggle of doubt, when we are almost fearful to share this with others because we feel so guilty, we need to understand that this is what Jesus is saying. The way to restoration, the way to grow through this, is to be amongst the body of Christ, to embrace and to support one another as we go through this. Not to leave one another, not to judge one another, but really be there for one another as many of us might face this in our lives. Well, let me just also briefly turn to the story of Gideon, because I think we have at least two wonderful guidelines in this story as well that help us understand how we deal with the doubt. Gideon was very similar to Thomas. He had to see something. He had to have visual encouragement to be strengthened in his faith. God called him to lead his nation to freedom once again. And he was doubting. He was doubting his faith. He was doubting the existence of God. And it's not as if he didn't have faith. But he was struggling with doubt. And he had to see something. He wanted a sign to be encouraged in his faith. And God gave him not one, but more than one. We only read the one where he brought this sacrifice to the Lord, and the angel of the Lord touched the sacrifice and just started burning. The rock just consumed the meat and the bread and the whole offering. After this, God gave him a second sign, divided in two, with a fleece that he put on the ground. And you might recall that story. And the next morning, the fleece was wet. And the next morning, the ground was wet, but the fleece was dry. And God showed his presence and his sovereign rule in to get in that way. The two things that I think we read here, which is very important for us to see how God led Gideon through his doubt, are these two things. The first thing we find in verse 14. It says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" And it reminds me of what Jesus did to his disciples as well. When it says in Matthew 28 that they were doubting, they worshipped him, but there was some that was doubting, he gave them a command. He didn't say, "Well, don't doubt," or "Let me address the doubt first." He said to them, "Only this, to me belongs all authority in heaven and on earth." And then he said, "Go and make disciples." And that's, I think, a rule that, or a guideline that we should all understand. If you are doubting in life, the first thing you should be doing is continue to do what God wants you to do. Because the temptation when you doubt is to stop doing things. When you doubt your faith, the first thing people often are tempted to do is stop coming to church, stop reading their Bible, pray less. And I think this is a guidance for us to understand when you go through a time of doubt, continue to do what God is calling you to do. Continue to go to church, even though you are doubting. Continue to read your Bible, even though you are doubting, because that's how God speaks to you. Continue to pray, even though you are doubting. Just do the things that God wants you to do, because that's the way that He will help you grow through this and deal with this in your life. And the next thing that God does here, which is something is similar to both, is the visual signs that I mentioned. For Gideon, God gave these signs I mentioned. First, the offering, then the fleece. For Thomas, it was the wounds in his hand and in his side. God showed that to them so that they might be encouraged. We actually sang in one of the songs before, and you might not recall that, but in the song Hosanna, we sang the words, "Open my eyes to see the things unseen." I think those are the words. Yeah? And that's exactly this. How are we encouraged in our faith? We pray that God will open our eyes to see Him around us. Because He shows Himself to us. It so often happens in life that when people doubt, just something else happens and they find encouragement in that. And it might be something as simple as a sunrise, where God shows them His presence and the fact that He gives them a new day. And they feel encouraged. But we have to pray for our eyes to be open to that. If that doesn't help, then come to church once a month when we have the Lord's Supper, because we actually have a visual sign of what God did for us. And I think that's why Jesus gave us sacraments, so that we might be visually reminded of who He is and what He did for us. Next week, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper once again. And so when we break the bread, when we eat the bread, we will be reminded and we will see what Jesus did for us. When we drink the wine, we will be reminded of His blood spilling for us. And that's why we can never leave the Lord's Supper feeling the same way when we came to church that morning. We should always be strengthened in our faith and be reminded of God's grace and mercy and go out with more courage and more enthusiasm as we serve the Lord. That should lead us to the point that Thomas came to when he said, "My Lord and my God," and a point where Gideon came to as well when we read the end of that passage. Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." He wasn't struggling or doubting anymore. He was at peace with God. And that is where you grow to when you go through this phase of doubt in your life. That's where you end up going to. And that's why Barnabas Piper says it is good to go through that, because that's where it leads to. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible, but one that really sums this up as well, was when a man stood before Jesus in Mark 10, we read this, and he said this, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And that's so typical for us. We are believers. We have a relationship with Christ. He is our Lord and our God. But every now and then we go through the struggle of just struggling to fully comprehend and fully trust in that. And that's where we need to grow through that doubt and be closer to God. But be encouraged by the fact that when you doubt, it's not because you are an unbeliever. It's not because you've lost your faith. It's a sign of you still having faith. But you need to grow through that to be closer to God. So use those opportunities to reconcile with God and find peace with Him, as Gideon did also once again. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we all, at some stage in life, face the struggle of doubt. When we go through other struggles, It brings us to a place where we ask the question, why, and maybe this, maybe that. How do I do this? Where were you when this happened? And I do pray, Lord, that you will use those times to trust in you and to find the strength of your Spirit as he guides us through this. Lord God, it's never an easy time for us. It's a hard time. It's a painful time, as any struggle in our life is. But I thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight that you are never far away, that you are always there for us, that you show us this in the stories of Gideon and also of Thomas tonight, and how you, in your grace, how you were there for them, how you reached out to them, how you encouraged them, how you gave them what they needed so that they might grow in their faith and be closer to you. Come to a point where they declare that they are at peace with you, or come to a point where they, as Thomas did, declare that you are our Lord and our God. Lord God, I pray that you'll help us grow through this struggle, that you'll be with those that we know who might be facing this struggle at this point in time as well. Lord, doubt is a serious thing for us to go through. It has such a vicious circle that could take such a long time to heal from and go through and grow through. But I do pray that you'll use your sovereignty, your grace, your mercy in helping us come to that point we are reconciled with you and our faith is strong once again. Father God, I pray that you'll be with us further as we continue to worship before you tonight, and as we bring our struggles to you, that you'll remind us of your support and your comfort in these struggles. Pray this in your great name. Amen. Are we singing Oceans next? Okay.